Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Drew Danik here. David Josephson at the helm. Thank you for hanging out with us on this Monday. It's a little gloomy and a little cold, but we're getting through it, David.
Yeah, it's all right. This is what the end of October is supposed to be like. So.
Paul, not so much. He's under the covers once again. He's a little sniffing, a little hoarse. I mean, the voice, you know, not on a horse. And he can't come in again today because he's not feeling well.
Well, you know, he said it was mostly because of his voice, which is kind of a sweet place to be. So I can't come to work because my voice, but you feel just fine. So hopefully he's out, you know, going for a walk or doing something fun today.
Exactly. You can enjoy the day off, but you can't work at least at our profession. But he is in good company. Certainly handsome husband has a very bad cold. My daughter has a sinus infection. Everybody seems to be out sick. Susan Blanche, our producer here, a lot of folks have been sick. So we feel you. We empathize with you. Get yourself a little Jewish penicillin. That's called some chicken soup. And hopefully you will be, that's what it is, Jewish penicillin. You will be feeling better very soon. All right, some fun news. Our top three trenders of the day. We're going to start with the Timberwolves.
Crosses over. Free throw line out to Wiggins. Left side three on the way. He's feeling it. Andrews started the year 0 of 13 from deep. He's now 2 for his last 2. And he's put the Wolves up by 3 with 2:45 left.
Fun. Again, 3 in a row on the season. This is super exciting. 116-109 over the Heat in the home opener. Wolves outscored the Heat by 14 points in the fourth quarter. Towns scored 23. Wiggins scored 25. And by the way, he is our player of the day. And we are going to play two truths and a lie. And Andrew Wiggins is going to be our player of the day. And David, you're going to play with me. I'm going to try and stump you.
I can't wait. There's no chance you can stump me.
Well, I might be able to. Unless he looked over my shoulder when I was writing the lie. I don't know. But that's coming up at 3:50. So we're going to play that game. So stay tuned for some little trivia about Andrew Wiggins. Our second big story of the day, it's sports related as well. It is about the World Series. President Trump appeared on Sunday night at Game 5 of the World Series, and his appearance sounded something like this. Okay, so there's that. Obviously, the lock him up chant is a takeoff on the lock her up chant that he did at his rallies when he was talking about Hillary Clinton. And then there was confusion about the boos. You could hear some boos. You could certainly hear some clapping. But on Twitter, I was following this on Twitter, some people defended the boos, saying that they were like bruise, or is there a player on the Nationals maybe that sounds like when you go to a Bruce Springsteen concert, you hear Bruce and people think that's their first one, that it's a boo, but it's not. It's a Bruce.
There may be a player on the Nationals with that as a nickname, but it would be a little strange to be cheering for that specific player right as the president of the United States is introduced.
You make an excellent point. I was trying to possibly be diplomatic and look at the other side.
Look, though, there were also cheers and whistles support for the president. So there was a mixed bag.
For sure. And it completely is a mixed bag. And it is anywhere you go in the country these days. But I don't know that maybe he will go to more sporting events. Maybe he was unaffected by it. I watched the video of this happening. He and Melania sort of just smiled and golf clapped their way through it. I mean, what else are you going to do, right? Can't flip them all the finger and walk out. That would be really bad form. So that happened. But you know what? And this kind of under a lot of flack. I think Morning Joe on MSNBC, who does not like the president, said that the people should not have done that. That they should have risen above, and they should absolutely not have done that. And then he got skewered on social media as well. People were just expressing their right to free speech. And I am on that side of that battle, if it is a battle at all. Things on Twitter are battles. I don't think there was anything wrong with what the people did. I think they get to express themselves. Most of us never have access to the president of the United States, even now that we have Twitter. So you get to say whatever you want. It wasn't hate speech. It wasn't incitement to violence. It was free speech. It wasn't regulated speech. So they get to make themselves heard. And especially when you are in the presence of the person that you may not be aligned with, you want to make yourselves heard. So chalk one up to free speech. Other big trender of the day, something in the Star Tribune. What do you do when you see a deer on the road? And David, did we confirm that the deer hunting opener is Friday?
The deer hunting opener is a week from Friday. It's on November 9th.
A week from Friday, November 9th. Okay. So I've seen a ton more around. I think it must be mating season because they are abound. The deer,
I think they say they're in the rut.
That's the
term.
It's the word for deer getting frisky?
Yeah, something like that.
They're in the rut. They're in heat. They're getting it on. We need a little Barry White for this segment instead of this sound. That was a little harsh, maybe a little Barry White. But in the Star Tribune today, there's a great article about what to do when you see a deer on the road. Your initial reaction, you're a human being, you're a driver, is of course swerve to not hit said object in the road, which likely is a deer. By the way, you're more likely to hit a deer in Minnesota than in other states. We just seem to have more of them. And as frightening as it sounds, hitting the deer, officers say, and experts say, may be better for you than swerving around the deer. That might actually be more dangerous for you and the people that are in your car and the other people that are on the road, even though it goes against every grain of your being to not swerve to avoid what is right in front of you. So the Star Tribune had some pretty good tips. Not swerve to avoid hitting the deer. They say deer can change direction very quickly. And swerving might not prevent a collision. It might actually send you closer to the deer. If they freak out, go the other way, and you swerve white to get around them, it might cause a greater crash. Swerving might cause a more significant accident with a tree, a guardrail, or another vehicle. They say what you need to do is use your high beams to illuminate the road if there is no oncoming traffic. Because that is annoying when somebody's driving toward you and you have your high beams on. So please don't do that. They say if you do hit a deer, you should move to the side of the road. You should call law enforcement and your insurance company. And then they said this, and also think about what you're going to do with the deer. Because I'm learning today that you can keep it and you can eat it. That can be your dinner for the next few months. So maybe you have done that. But because this is top of mind these days and we're seeing deer all over the place, and also because David has some great deer on the road stories, What have you done in this situation? Did you hit the deer? Did you swerve? Did it become your dinner and stock up your freezer with the venison for the rest of the winter? I want to hear your deer on the road story. My phone number is 651-989-9226. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, tell us your story. Did you swerve? Did you hit it? Who won, your car or the deer? 651-989-9226. Next.
Paul and Jordana.
The mood music is brought to you by the deer, because they're getting busy lately in mating season. And then they run out in the middle of the road, and then you smack into them with your car. It kind of sounds something like this. Sorry, I just can't get enough of that sound. I think it's a little bit funny. Hopefully, there was no crash at the end of that, because I don't want you to crash into the deer, even though we've learned today that we are not supposed to swerve around the deer. So I asked, what's your deer story? David has a few. I haven't had that experience where it was right there and I swerved or I hit it yet. Thank God. I'm knocking wood. Kenahara. It's Yiddish for knock wood, basically. I hope I don't get to experience that, but the phone lines are lit up, and we're going to hear yours in a minute, David. But let's see. Tim's in Lake Elmo. Tim, what's your deer story?
Well, it actually is a friend of mine. He was driving in Minnetonka. He saw a deer coming out. He slowed down. The deer jumped over his hood.
Oh, my gosh.
And right through the windshield of an oncoming car. He pulled over, opened the back seat. The guy's seat was broken, and he was in the back seat covered with everything. And turned out the only thing he had was a broken collarbone and a scratch. But all the rest of the guts and blood was the deer. But for a long time. He didn't know, you know, is this guy dying in front of me or what, you know? So.
Well, what a hero. Thank God he was right there and to call police.
Yeah.
But, wow, that's scary. So the deer tried to avoid your friend's car, ended up in the windshield.
Right over the, my friend slowed down, he said. You know, he saw the deer, mm-hmm. you know, running. So he slows down, didn't swerve. Deer jumps over his hood and it on right through the windshield of an oncoming car.
Wow, crazy story. But your friend did the right thing. Tim, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's see. Phil is in Apple Valley. Phil, what's your deer story? Hi, Phil.
Hey.
Hi, Phil.
Hey, how you doing?
We're okay. How are you, sir?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to get home, you know. It's been a long day at work.
But you got a deer story for us?
Yeah, I do. I hit one a long time ago with, actually, it was my mom and dad's car. And luckily for me, there was no damage, but the deer ended up with two broken legs. And here's the deal. If you see a deer, just slow down. You know what I mean? So your best offense, slow down.
So what do you do with the deer with two broken legs? Did the DNR take him away?
Well, we went up to a guy's house, and we called the cops, and he came out and shot it.
Oh.
I felt sorry for the deer. I mean, what can you do? You know, he had two broken legs.
Yeah.
We just threw it in the back of the car and hauled it away, you know.
All right. There you go. Dinner for Phil. Phil, thanks for the call. But Phil's right. Phil's right. You know, what do? You slow down. And that's the advice that the Star Tribune gave, too. You don't slam on the brakes, as David was educating me about. Why, David?
Because if you slam on the brakes, your car tilts forward and that deer just comes right through the windshield.
That's right. It's better off for you if the deer hits the grill instead of the windshield.
Yeah.
I mean, not great for the deer, but again, if the contest is you and the deer, you want to win that contest.
Yeah, we have too many deer, I think.
Okay, there you go. They're on the road. Well, it's because they're busy this time of year. they're getting busy. Don's in St. Paul. Don, what's your deer story?
Well, I got a couple of them that I could throw out there, but this is going to be more of a public service announcement for other people.
The
guy that I worked with had just gone through this, and he had avoided the deer, went off the side of the road, and ended up hitting something, doing a little bit of damage to his vehicle. And in the process of that, his insurance company calls up the place that's repairing the vehicle and asks if there's any evidence that there was deer. And there was no evidence of deer because he avoided the deer. Because of that, it goes against his collision as insurance. Insurance is going to go up because of it, but it doesn't go as an act of nature, which would have been your comprehensive, which would have been no fault of his whatsoever. So you're much better off hitting the deer as far as liability goes.
Wow. I didn't even consider that. So, wow. Okay. That is a really good, that is a good public service tip. Not that you want to hit the deer. It's best to avoid it. But you're right. When you do swerve and you hit a sign or you damage your car, you're screwed.
Absolutely.
You know what? Good public service. Don, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Well, that's make a note, folks. That is just something to think about. Jackson, St. Paul. Jack, what's your deer story?
Oh, this happened to a friend of mine and kind of an insurance thing, too. So he was driving through northern Wisconsin. Deer runs out and he hits it in the right front fender.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody stopped and helped him pull the fender away from the tire and he continued on his way. About 15 minutes later, another deer runs out, hits him in the right front fender and the right door.
Oy.
And the mirror on the right side. So after he got done with that, he called his insurance company and he explained it kind of how I just did. And they said, well, the first deer, did it hit the door? And he said, no, mm-hmm. just the front fender. The second one hit the door. So he ended up paying two deductibles because it was two different incidences.
Come on. Oh, my gosh. That is unconscionable for the insurance company.
Yep. So, anyway, it was a cute story.
Yeah, Jack, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. But cautionary tale. I don't know what you do. You don't want to lie. But what do you do with that? That is unconscionable. The insurance company totally needed to step up.
Might be one of those leave out a few pieces, a few details.
Right. I mean, I think it hit the door. I'm pretty sure it hit the door. You know, I don't know. I don't have my body camera rolling. Let's see, Al's in Mason City. Al, what's your deer story, sir?
Well, my daughter swerved to avoid the deer, rolled the car, and totaled it.
Oh, that sucks.
I had no collision on it.
Oh, that's worse.
So,
was she okay?
It was about 20 years ago. She got out of the accident. Fortunately, her best friend was following her at the time, she could pick her up after that little incident.
But that's, Al, thank you for bringing this up, because that's exactly what the Star Tribune article is talking about. Don't swerve. they say slow down as much as you can. No slamming on the brakes, because we learned from David, it'll go right through the windshield. But slow down. And if you hit it, you hit it. But slow down. And then, hey, if you hit it, the insurance company, you can prove, because there's going to be some deer hair and maybe some deer guts in your grill, so they can't just keep you on the hook for the whole amount. Crazy, crazy stuff that goes on. But hey, now we know. Yet, when you're faced with that moment, when it's looking at you and it happens in a split second, your natural instinct is to swerve. And I totally get it. But you're going to have to, now that you know, you're going to have to fight that instinct. David, you had two stories. Can you briefly tell us what they were?
Well, yeah. One of the reasons that this, you know, kind of sparked my interest today is that I was on a trip about a week ago, and we're driving through the middle of nowhere in Nebraska. I'm sleeping in the back seat, and I wake up to our car lurching because my wife, who's driving late at night, a deer, you know, flashes across the front. We're going 70 miles an hour, and she did hit the brakes and swerved a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's what woke me up. The deer never really got that close to our car. But I had heard, you know, in the back of my mind, I had heard something about this that, you know, maybe in a year before, where you don't swerve and you don't slam on the brakes. So I, you know, I'm like still sleeping. And before I go back to bed, I say, honey, now listen, don't swerve. Don't roll the van, mm-hmm. you know, which wasn't so great for our marriage for me to say
that. He got a little bit of trouble on that.
But, but then that brought back a memory of when I was a child. I was maybe 10 or 11 years old, and I'm sleeping in the back of our family minivan in North Dakota, and same deal, my dad on a back road in North Dakota hit a deer going 65, 70 miles an hour, and I can remember waking up from the backseat of the minivan, looking to the front windshield just in time to see the deer that had already hit the vehicle, like flying through the air, landing in the opposite ditch. And that's what I remember. The vehicle was totaled. We had to buy a new car in North Dakota and drive it home, the whole deal, but I mean, one of those images I will never forget of this deer in the middle of the night, lit up by the headlights, flying through the air after we hit
it. You sure it wasn't Santa?
I'm fairly sure it wasn't Santa. It was summertime. It couldn't have been Santa.
But it totaled the car.
Yeah, it totaled
the car.
Yep, totaled our van, for sure.
Totaled the car. But you were all safe, thank God.
Yeah, and it hit right where you want it to hit, right? In the middle, it hit the engine, which it did a lot of damage, but it didn't come through the windshield, and the car didn't roll. We were all safe.
If you didn't get to tell your deer story, Jim and Belle Plaine, I see you. I'm sorry, but we're out of time. But we will be revisiting this at 5:20. We're going to share more stories. You can tell the cautionary tales, and we'll remind the people that are driving home at 5:20 about these tips. Thanks for sharing your story. And when we get back, a Democrat representative has resigned because of an improper relationship. Let's talk a little bit about that double standard next.
Paul and Jordana.
Representative Katie Hill announces her resignation amid allegations of improper relationships with staffers. Now, this story is like something seriously out of a Hollywood script. She did say, hey, by the way, David, do we have any sound of Katie Hill? We do. Hold on. Here's what she said.
Hi, I'm Katie Hill. And last night I announced the most difficult decision of my life, that I would be resigning from Congress. I made this decision so that my supporters, my family, my staff and our community will no longer be subjected to the pain inflicted by my abusive husband and the brutality of hateful political operatives.
Okay, this is like a little bit about revenge porn. And by the way, Representative Katie Hill is a freshman Democrat from California. She announced her resignation yesterday. Said it was the hardest thing she ever had to do, but it was best for her constituents. Here's the backstory. Last weekend, a conservative blog released intimate photos of Katie Hill, alleging she and her husband had a separate relationship with an unnamed female campaign staffer. Now, that report included three photos of the congresswoman, and they were explicit photos. Hill says her husband, Kenny Heslep, her husband of 9 years, who she's currently divorcing, is trying to humiliate her by sharing the revenge porn on the internet. No, he hasn't spoken out yet. She said in her resignation, she says, I don't want anybody else to be, you know, subject to the pain inflicted by my abusive husband and the brutality of hateful political operatives. She says it's a smear campaign and it's built around cyber bullying. Hill has proudly talked about her bisexual identity. So it's, you know, with whatever, pledging she'd be a voice for the LGBTQ community. I'm not sure if they had a threesome or if she was having a relationship with another woman and he was also having a relationship with another woman, but whatever it was, there were pictures and her husband. Her husband, the man she married, who she's currently divorcing, shared them on the internet, and now she is resigning. This one strikes me because, you know, we have Al Franken, who resigned amid, you know, allegations of sexual harassment. And there are some people who choose to resign, and then there's others who don't and just stay. And I had a couple thoughts. I said, well, is it because she's a woman? You know, she's falling on the sword here. But Al Franken kind of did that, even though we know now he resents that. He wishes he hadn't. He regrets it. Or is it because she is openly bisexual that she felt, no, I need to take the high road here? I don't know. Is it because she's a Democrat that she felt she needed to take the high road? I have no idea. But there just seems to be some kind of a double standard when, you know, nudie pictures, whatever they were, I haven't seen them, I don't want to see them, came out of her online. And she's like, you know what? I'm out. I feel bad for everybody involved. It's a bigger conversation about cyberbullying and revenge porn, which, by the way, is illegal. So her husband could go to jail for that. But fascinating conversation and fascinating decision that she said, you know what? I don't need this. I'm out. And because of the humiliation. It's sad for her supporters. David, what you got over there?
Well, there's a story that caught my eye today. Now, look, I am a parent of almost 19-month-year-old. And let me tell you, the number of clothes that we have to own for that child number of stains we have to watch out. She was double layered last night and had a blowout, and now we've got twice as many clothes that have things on
for
them.
Those of you who don't have children, a blowout is an explosive diaper where the contents of her gut have no longer been contained to said diaper and have blown out all over the crib and all over her other clothes.
Yeah. I mean, she was still walking around. She wasn't in the crib. She didn't care. She was just
happy.
Anyway, so that happens a lot. And look, we're doing a lot of laundry. And then there's the whole deal where, look, she's growing like pounds every day, it seems like, and sizes every day. And you say she just started wearing those shoes, those pants, those whatever. And she's already outgrown them. And look, she's only 19 months. I know this just gets worse and worse and worse, right?
Welcome to teenage boyism.
So now one company out of England has an answer to this. Now parents can rent bundles of children's clothes for £24 a month, or about $30 a month. And here's the deal. They're eco-friendly clothes. So the clothes themselves are like made and sourced in a green way. I don't know exactly what
maybe
that means.
Maybe they're bamboo fabrics or whatever.
Like that, right?
Yeah,
so,
whatever.
Which I'm all for. Look, if I can have my daughter in clothes that are good for her and good for planet, great. But the thing that's cool here is this company is having these baby clothes for rental by the company is called Bundly. And they're out of London.
Huge.
And they offer parents a monthly subscription of these ethically branded clothing. And once the child has outgrown the clothes, so you get a stack of 15 pieces of clothes a month. And once they've outgrown that certain size, you send them back. They wash them, iron them, and they send this pack of clothes to the next kid. And you get a new pack. So all these clothes, they get worn, they get dirty, they get outgrown, and we just send that pack back to Bundly, and they send me a new pack of brand new, stylish clothes that are good for us and good for the country.
This is genius.
This is a great idea. Now, at least from this company, it's not available here in the U.S. Maybe there's a parallel type company that's doing that, but I would definitely be in for a system like this where you can, you know, keep your child in clothes that fit and not have, look, I have cardboard boxes of clothes in the garage that she'll never wear again. And you say, I guess if we have another kid or we'll give them to somebody else, which that works too. But it'd be cool if there was a system like this where you just get them the mail.
I like that. I did after the first kid because, you know, you make all your mistakes with the first one and you're buying, you're spending and all that stuff. I would go to Once Upon a Child. I would do the consignment clothes or Goodwill. Yeah. It got so ridiculous to spend all that money for things like onesies or, you know, I mean, it's just, they just go through them so quickly and they stain them.
We got gifted a whole bunch of clothes from some friends of ours.
Nice.
And we, you know, we have a girl, a daughter, but we're not really into like the bows and frills and stuff. So I remember we had a scissors and if there was too frilly, I just cut off some bows, cut off a few frills.
Funny. You are. Good way to make them unisex. Then they're really reusable.
Yeah, exactly.
Even smarter. Even smarter. Okay. Speaking of kids, the story kills me. It actually kicks me. Umpire claims in a lawsuit, South Carolina mayor had him fired over a kickball call. It is beyond, my friends. You know that crazy parent at the baseball game or the soccer game? This guy's worse. And by the way, he was the mayor of the town. A part-time umpire filed a lawsuit on Friday alleging that a South Carolina mayor had him canned after an August call about a recreational kickball match. Graylin Morin Jr. says he was removed from his position after he made the call against the mayor's son during an August 6th game. All right? The mayor, his last name is Locklear, Mayor Locklear, and his son were playing for a recreational kickball team called the Recreational Hazard. They were playing offense in the bottom of the eighth when the call happened. According to the lawsuit, Locklear's son was running to home plate when the opposing team, the Toe Jammers, which is hilarious, tagged him in the back of the leg with a ball. I wish I had sound for this. The mayor shouted as he approached the umpire. He was past the plate. Are you stupid? Because I'm guessing that's kind of what the mayor might sound like when he was saying an asinine thing like that. Graylin did not respond to the disparaging comment, and the mayor just stared at him, because the umpire just thought, oh, this is just some random guy. Did not know that he was the mayor of the town. The mayor allegedly kept yelling at the umpire until the ump said, look, you're representing your kids and your town. Be quiet. Locklear says, I own this town. You won't have to worry about representing the town anymore because you won't be here. Okay, he threw apparently a tantrum until the game ended. And 2 days later, the umpire received a text from his boss that said someone did not want him officiating any longer. And he was fired. He was fired from his job. In the lawsuit, the ump says the mayor used his influence to make sure that he wouldn't work again. And he made about $1,200 per season. And he wants his money. Is this the most insane thing you've ever... I mean, I've heard a lot of insane things lately, but this is ridiculous.
The story is ridiculous at any level of any sport, and you find it's like recreational kickball. Come on.
In front of a kid, I mean, a little kid, it's just unbelievable. And by the way, the ump is suing for slander, conspiracy, intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Oh, my word.
And interference with the contract. I mean, that's a lot of things.
Everybody just needs to go home in this story and take a deep breath and then find a new hobby.
We need to do our breathing exercises. Remember, in one nostril, out the other. Do those breathing exercises. You got another one over there, David?
I sure do, yeah. So here's the deal. I love the sport of baseball.
Sure.
It's been my jam. I've played baseball since a very young age. Mm-hmm. And in the summer, I love going to a game and
sure.
The whole outdoor experience at Target Field. But at this time of year, I love watching playoff and World Series baseball.
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is a great time of year for me. Stay up late, watch baseball. But here's the deal. It is so fun because every pitch matters. Every batter matters. We've had a dramatic postseason.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one problem.
Uh-oh.
I don't have 4.5 hours of my life every day to put towards baseball.
It's
and
a long
this
time.
Year is the worst ever. Game one of the World Series, 3 hours and 43 minutes. Game two, 4 hours and 1 minute. The game didn't get over until midnight Eastern time.
That's
midnight.
I'm tired thinking about that.
Game three.
School night.
Game three was again more than 4 hours and set a record. There's never been a World Series before with two games that were just nine innings, not extra mm-hmm. innings, mm-hmm. that have gone more than 4 hours. And we had two of the first three in this World Series.
Epic.
Went over 4 hours. I mean, just dramatic. And then the other two were still the two since then, 3:48 and 3:10 or 3:19. Mm-hmm. To put it in perspective, the last time the Twins were in the World Series in 1991, the longest nine-inning game was right at 3 hours. There were some extra innings, but the longest nine-inning World Series game was right at 3 hours, which is still 20 minutes shorter than the shortest one
right?
this year. It's ridiculous, and who has time? I mean, I can't. I have a daughter that's going to wake up in the morning.
Please.
I can't donate 4+ hours of my time to baseball, but I wish I could. I wish I could do 3 hours or 2.5 and pay attention. It's ridiculous.
The networks are loving it, though. The longer the games go, they get to play more commercials. More promos for their shows.
I know, but are they going to like it in 10 years when my generation has tuned out because we're not going to spend 4 hours at a baseball game?
That's a really good point. Yeah, that is an excellent point. Good question, though. Let me squeeze this one in here just because I absolutely love Dave Chappelle. Do you watch or listen to Dave Chappelle?
I don't regularly, but I did kind of back in the day. Chappelle Show.
That it's comedian be. Chappelle Show, the funniest show ever. Dave Chappelle received the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor on Sunday. Lineup of entertainers, including his writing partner, Neil Brennan, Bradley Cooper, Tiffany Haddish, John Legend, Chrissy Teigen, Lorne Michaels, Trevor Noah. I mean, everybody. Jon Stewart will pay tribute to the comedian. The Mark Twain Prize for American Humor is considered the highest accolade in comedy, and it recognizes individuals who have had an impact on American society in the vein of 19th century novelist Mark Twain. I'm so proud of Dave Chappelle because he really, sometimes he goes over the line, but he really tackles some serious issues of the day. He's been really open about his complete meltdown after he left Comedy Central. He's made a comeback. So I love Dave Chappelle. I think his humor is hilarious. Again, he goes over the line, but that's what comedians do. They go over the line and they make you think. So congratulations to Dave Chappelle for the Mark Twain Award.
The three-point line up top. Wiggins again. Yes! Three for his last three after he missed his first 13 of the season. Andrew Wiggins has put the Wolves up 107-101. 2:10 left to play.
Gotta love Allen Horton, man. Gotta love him. Great calling, great energy, great enthusiasm. And the reason we're playing that is because it's time for Two Truths and a Lie. Time for us to play a little game. Andrew Wiggins is our player of the day. He scored 25 points last night to lead the T-Wolves to beat the Heat 116-109. And by the way, I'm Jordana Green here with Dave Josephson, our producer. Paul is out sick today. Well, not really sick. He just has a sort of laryngitis, so doesn't work well on the radio.
No, he apparently doesn't sound too well, so we'll give him the day off.
A little Kermit-y, a little raspy.
Should we cold call him just to hear what it sounds like?
Right? We might have to do that. Okay, but let's play a game, David, okay?
Okay, I'm in. Let's go.
Did you listen to the game last night?
I listened to
In and Out.
Yeah, a little bit of it. A few pieces of it.
I got you. Okay.
It's so hard. It's hard. Not. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have, but the team is playing so well. I want to catch a little bit.
So well.
Tune in.
It's a very exciting time to be a Minnesota sports fan. I am going to give you three statements, two of which are true. One is false.
Okay.
Please identify the false statement.
Got
it. If you can. Number one, Andrew Wiggins began playing organized basketball when he was 9. At that time, 9 years old, he was 5'7". He dunked a basketball for the first time when he was 13. And a year later, he grew to 6'6". That's when he shattered a glass backboard after dunking. At 9 years old, he was 5'7". At 13, he was 6'6".
Okay.
Okay. That's first statement. Second statement. Andrew Wiggins played college basketball for the Kansas Jayhawks before being drafted in the first overall pick in the 2014 NBA draft by the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay. Okay.
Number three. Wiggins went to college in Kansas, as I just mentioned, because he didn't want to leave his family, who are fifth-generation farmers in Kansas. So once again, let's review, David, okay?
Okay.
First, he began playing when he was 9. He was 5'7 at 9, and he was 6'6 at age 13, broke his first backboard then. Played college for the Kansas Jayhawks, and he was the first overall pick in 2014 to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
And number three, he chose to go to college in Kansas because he grew up there and didn't want to leave his family, who are fifth-generation farmers in Kansas.
Ooh. I don't know for sure
okay.
the answer to this, but I'm going to give it a good guess. I don't think Wiggins was drafted by Cleveland, as you said. So I'm going to take number two as the wrong answer.
You sure? Well, just making sure you're sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm
sure.
Sure? Okay. I mean, I'm not sure, but I'm going with it.
Sorry, buddy.
What did I mess up on?
Sorry, buddy. The fact is, Andrew Wiggins is Canadian. Okay? Wiggins was born in Toronto, raised in Ontario.
Okay.
He is the son of former NBA player Mitchell Wiggins, an American, and former Olympic track and field sprinter.
Sure.
And his mother is Marita Payne Wiggins, a Canadian who was originally from Barbados. His parents met as student athletes at Florida State.
So you made up a Kansas sixth generation thing.
I did. He did go to Kansas,
yes.
Played for
yep.
the Kansas
yep.
Jayhawks. But yes, he's not from Kansas. And they're not farmers. His parents are professional athletes. So, no, that did not happen. But, no, he was – it's interesting note about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
He did get drafted to the Cleveland Cavaliers, like in – I think it's March when they have the draft, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that August, he got traded to the Wolves. So he never played for
yes.
them.
Yes, yeah. I was sure that he started his career with the Wolves.
There you go.
I was
didn't mean to
that.
Double trick you, you there, but I did.
You did mean to trick me.
A little bit. Thanks for the great fun. We will try to do that every time we have a Timberwolves game, Two Truths and a Lie. Crazy advice questions. Is it okay to plan your wedding at 5:30 a.m.? You marinate on that, and then you're going to call me and give me the answer, what you think. We're going to give some unsolicited advice because these questions didn't come to us, but we feel like giving out some free advice today. So that's up next on CCO.
Paul and Jordana.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.